Lopez wants it away. And it's a deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run! Mike Piazza and the Mets lead. 3-2. Bartolo has done it! The impossible has happened! This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mets fans of all ages, here is your host, Nick Durst.
Hello, Mets fans, and welcome back to another edition of Believe in the Mets. I'm your host, Nick Durst, and how sweet it is to be here with you on this episode, folks, as the Mets, they head to Tampa Bay, and they struggle. They get swept. I mean, they're into some bright spots, but overall, you know, not too happy, obviously, with the way that that series played out. So we'll have to discuss a little bit more of that because I'm not happy with that. So joining me now, Bat, welcome back to the show once again. Subreddit Shay host, Anthony Rivera. Anthony, welcome back into the program. Thank you so much for coming back. And this weekend, it was tough to watch, I would say. So, I mean, overall takeaway here from the weekend and just with how the team's been playing the past week right now.
I don't know. I'm trying to feel, am I getting set up for this? Like, they got swept by the Rays, and I'm wondering, it's like, Nick's like, let's bring Anthony on this game. Today's the podcast we're going to bring him on. Talk about a man overall. I'm at a loss for words, honestly. For the first time, I'm you know, just, I don't know how to feel. This team has not been playing well. Mm-hmm. The offense has been consistently inconsistent, and it's very disappointing to see. It's the beginning of May. Like, not everyone should not be this bad right now on offense, especially the core players. So very disheartening. The Mets should have actually swept this series, but they beat themselves. And, you know, this is where we end up with this result.
Well, listen, I mean, we spoke of the offseason. I thought the Mets were really, you know, betting on themselves here with the roster. And, you know, that is a good time for me to tell you that, of course, BetOnline loves Believe in the Mets. And they're the number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Follow the Mets, of course, got the latest odds and lines, including latest team matchups, player props, and odds on every sport out there. Head to the website or use your mobile device to get in the action and bet online where the game starts. And, of course, we're doing this as we're currently recording. People on demand, of course, the Mets' new series is about to start against the Cardinals, but let's look back here on an unmemorable weekend. Friday night, disaster. Saturday, let's talk about Saturday. So,
obviously, the positive.
The positive, right? So, Christian Scott, he is the real deal. I mean, there's a great article on Sports Illustrated today, written by me, about how Christian Scott could be the next Jacob DeGrom. Think about it, Anthony. Two guys who were not highly touted in the MLB draft, not top prospects. They throw super hard. They have almost the same debut. DeGrom won 7 innings, 6 strikeouts, and lost. Christian Scott, 6 2/3 innings, 6 strikeouts, the team lost. So, you know, maybe Christian Scott goes on to be a multi-time Cy Young Award winner. Hopefully doesn't get hurt. But how could you not be impressed with what you saw to Christian Scott in his first MLB game?
And also, on top of that, between the both of them, no run support. So that's a common theme.
1-0 loss for DeGrom against the Yankees. 3-1 loss for Christian Scott.
I think the thing that impressed me the most with Christian Scott was the first inning, where I think he gave up 3 straight hits to start the game, gave up the 1 run, had a guy on 2nd and 3rd, and figured out a way to get out of it without the help of, and I complain about this all the time, Jeremy Hefner not coming to the mound, calming the kid down, checking on him to get him, you know, ease things a little bit. But he fought out of it. He pitched very well, 6 2/3, I think it was, innings. I think you said it. But yeah, I enjoyed watching that. Just there's just no offense. It gets thrown off. It's the same thing that happened on Monday when Luis Severino had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning. No offense. And that was my worry when the kid was coming up. It's like, oh, Christian Scott's coming up to pitch. Well, yeah, he's going to come up and pitch very well, but he's not going to get run support. And that's what happened.
Listen, that's how it's going to be. Yuki Matsui, he says he's going to pray they tread water and stay close to Mark Price until Singh comes back. I mean, they're not one player away, though. So, I mean, they need Singh back, but...
It's not the pitching. Outside of the outside of that start on Friday.
I got to tell you, the pitching, Anthony, I mean, they've been pretty solid, but they need to go beyond 5-6 innings. The bullpen is dead already. It's May 6th, and the bullpen's taxed. How's it going to be in June and the days of summer? They need to get some more length. Yep. I don't know if it's the players can't go or if just their pitching strategy, but I need to see the starting pitchers go a little further if they want to have a sustained success that they're having ERA-wise with the bullpen.
I always give them about a month to build up and get themselves so that they can be doing 6 innings consistently. If by middle of May they're not doing that, we have a legitimate problem, as we saw last year. Christian Scott gave us 6 2/3. Sevy gave us 8. So did Quintana last week. But then he does a clunker here where he was given run support.
Not much. It's just very inconsistent overall.
Yeah.
As the word I would say. But, I mean, just to finish off this Christian Scott game, I saw Ottavino, he wasn't having it. You could tell right away. But to say, let's pull him and bring in Sean Reed Foley, this guy who you DFA'd like twice last year, coming off injury, and put him in the game. And then Foley, he walks the guy. And then the next guy he gets out, he's so fired up, like he just won in the World Series. I mean.
Well, let me ask you this, because I asked this of people in my space today. I said, in that situation, right? You have Ottavino 3-2. You have Sean Reed Foley 3-2 counts with the bases loaded. I hate walking runners in. At the very least, if you're going to lose a run, throw a fastball down the plate and see and make sure this guy can hit it. Because that's a little bit different. But to walk the guy to the 2 runs to lose this game, man, that threw me off. I don't know how you feel. If you
as
feel
far as I'm
way.
Concerned... I don't want to see Adam Ottavino be the setup man. I think Reed Garrett should have went out there for the next inning. He got the out in the 7th. He's been the best reliever so far, Edwin Diaz included. He should have been out there for the rest of that inning. But I mean, to back to back walks, you have to throw some strikes. But I rather Adam Ottavino continued in the inning than bring in Sean Reed Foley, because I think they got lucky Sean Reed Foley walked, because. He's a pitch away from a grand slam, typically. He's not a major leaguer. Michael Tompkins not a major leaguer. I think Tompkins at the Yankees now. I told you in the offseason when they signed this guy, he's going to be DFA'd, and he was.
You did. You did. I will give you the credit there. You did. You know, and I got to eat that. Got to eat that crow on that one. And now look at this. We got rid of Johan Ramirez, and he's back.
And I was also right about Adrian Hauser, who was absolutely awful this season. Like I said, all these guys are cut off their career worst years. Do you think they're all going to have the career best? Was crazy thinking. And Hauser, why even bother with him in the bullpen right now? Like, I guess long relief, but like, I don't think he's going to do good at the bullpen either. So I would have just DFA'd him.
I did see a stat from Carson of Mets Weekly. He posted the his starts versus him in the bullpen from his time in Milwaukee, and he has a 1.35 ERA in the bullpen. I don't know if that carries over here with the Mets, but I guess it's worth to give it a try. And if not, Stearns has, you know, said goodbye to a lot of the people on this roster, right? Tonkin, Ramirez, twice, both of them. Also, Zach Short, Joey Wendell, probably not too far away from that if he continues to be terrible on defense. So they're not wasting any time.
Don't get me started on Joey Wendell, Anthony, because I was very upset that they signed Severino the first day of free agency, which was dumb for so much money. And then the next day, they were like, we got to get Joey Wendell in here. Joey Wendell, I never thought was an upgrade over Luis Guillorme offensively or defensively. I mean, maybe because he could play left field, but the ball seems to find Joey Wendell's glove. And it's so far has not worked out. He's cost them at least 3 games defensively, the defense specialist.
And they have Jose Iglesias down in AAA. I mean, he can hit. He can play defense. Why not bring him up?
Yeah, Iglesias, he's not a lefty, so maybe that's it. But Iglesias, I'd rather have him on the roster. But Joey Wendell's crushing them so far defensively, which is something you thought was going to be sure. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But and then Sunday's game was just a disaster. So any thoughts on Sunday's game?
No, I mean, basically, like I said, this team beat themselves. They should have swept Tampa. They should have. Like, in good teams beat, you know, good teams get the job done. And the Mets are just not that right now. Like, they're two games under 500. Like I said, no offense. You know, you have Edwin Diaz blow his first game since 2022, the most opportune time ever to do it. I'm still not as worried about him yet, but if a couple more of those happen, I will start getting worried. But they just couldn't get it done.
I'm worried. He's already given up more home runs this year than he did in 2022. Yeah. And we're at May 6th. So, yeah, I mean, everyone said it was going to be a given coming off the injury that he was just going to be back prime. No. It's not going to happen.
I don't know who said that, but I said it so many times that this guy, do not expect him to be 2020. Even if he was not hurt and he came into 2023, right? He doesn't get hurt. He goes into 2023 after that season. I still was not expecting him to be as good as he was in 2022. That was one of the best reliever and closer seasons I've ever seen from a pitcher. So I wasn't expecting that to happen again.
So, Anthony, can the Mets survive with Francisco Alvarez? So far, the answer is no. I wouldn't expect him back before late August. They're really missing his bat. They're missing him, I think, defensively in the sense of framing pitches, working with the pitching staff. But they're really missing him offensively. Tomas Nito gives you nothing. Omar Narvaez can occasionally hit a home run, but he gives you nothing. And the Alvarez was primed for a big season offensively. Are they going to be able to survive without him, Anthony, offensively? It doesn't look that way right now.
I see. I thought they were going to be able to because they brought in JD Martinez, but he's still not ready yet. He's just slow to bat.
He hasn't even been in a month.
He'll take some time. But yeah, they miss Francisco Alvarez for his offense. They miss him, like you said, for pitch framing because I feel like Omar Narvaez doesn't know how to do that. He wasn't really throwing runners out at second, so that didn't matter. But if you're not hitting as bad, like I think they're both hitting under 100 or 187, 160. I don't know what it is, but the average is very low for both Narvaez and Nito. You got to play good defense, and they're not throwing runners out at second. And it doesn't help that the pitchers keep walking everybody, but still, you got to be able to throw some of these guys out, and they're not throwing anyone out. I think Nito was the first one when he came up that threw somebody out. And there's only been two guys.
That's the only time.
All of this whole team is just right now an absolute mess. When they lost yesterday, it is, you know, a disaster right now. And the fundamentals aren't there. The baseball IQ doesn't feel like it's there. I have like no answers. Like I have so many questions for this team. And you know I'm very positive. You called me positive Ant not too long ago.
Positive Tony, yeah.
Yeah. Positive so, Tony. I don't know, man. I'm starting to lean in a different direction on that whole thing.
All right. I'm just, you know, I just like.
You're just going with it now, right?
The thing I'm just shocked about is just that, you know, how everybody's turned on Pete Alonso. But I mean, Pete Alonso has the same numbers as Bryce Harper, right? But the Phillies are in first, so everyone's thinking Bryce Harper is doing great. His numbers are much better than Paul Goldschmidt. He's much better than Jose Abreu, who went to the minor leagues. He's got the power still, but obviously it's very frustrating to watch him strike out a lot in big spots or have a low average. But why is everybody giving a pass to Francisco Lindor all of a sudden? Because he had a runner on third base and he hit the ghost runner. He hit him in extra innings to win the game. That's to me is not really that clutch of hitting. But Francisco Lindor is batting third. He's not doing much. So I think that puts a lot of pressure on Pete because he sees, oh my, Lindor's out. Now there's two outs. So I got to really do something here. And it's messing with his psyche. He's getting a third out. So, you know, let's not say one's good, one's bad. Let's couple them together either way.
I think it's a collective effort, right? Alonso's been bad. Lindor's not been good. Nimmo has not been good either. McNeil has been probably the worst and probably needs to go first.
Isn't McNeil even team at average though?
He's not. He's batting, I think, like .247. Tyrone Taylor leads the team in average, followed by Harrison Bader and then Starling Marte. So those are your top three average hitters. Nimmo leads the team in RBIs, followed by Lindor and then Alonso. I mean, I'm not giving up on Alonso. We know the track record there. This is like a terrible slump for him. I'm pretty sure the whole thing about signing a new contract next year is also affecting him. I just don't want this to get to a point where it's Michael Conforto, where Michael Conforto didn't take the offer we gave him, bet on himself to go to free agency, and he had one of the worst years of his career. I hope that doesn't happen with Alonso. Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah.
I miss Carlos Conforto still on that bullseye. I've been saying it for months. I think starting to love the trade Pete Alonso. We'll see what happens. But Yuki,
he lost all
emotions last year. Said this year is going to be more logical. We're not in a win now mode, so all these bailouts are expected. Well, that is right. I mean, I lost all emotions when I walked out of the wild card game 3 and they lost. I said, unless they make significant changes offensively next year, this team is not going to be in the playoffs. And they didn't. And they didn't again. So it's a wait and see period right now. But I don't know. Are they going to call up some more prospects offensively finally?
Well, that would require like trading McNeil and getting some of these Wendell out of here and some of that stuff like that. Look, I'll ask the same question to you like I did during the space. Yuki can answer it in the chat. I have no attachment to these players. Like for me, it's all about the name on the front of the jersey. So if you told me that the Mets are going to win the World Series, but it has to be without Pete Alonso on the roster, or it has to be without Nimmo or Lindor, whoever. If it's a whole completely different roster to get us to win a World Series, I don't care. I just want to win a World Series at this point.
It depends on when. If you're telling me next year, sure. If you're like, oh, well, the Mets, you know.
In the next 5 years. Let's go with the way that Steve Cohen, right? Like, oh, the Mets are going to win a World Series. If the Mets were to win the World Series in the next 5 years and none of this roster is on it, do you take it?
Yeah, because that to me would mean that Carlos Mendoza is gone. David Stearns failed. So it's a new regime. So we'll take it 5 years from now. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. I'm getting frustrated. Let's preview the series here at the Cardinals. Anthony, three games set. So my expectations are that the Mets will win one and lose two of the games. And if Steven Matz pitching, I think if he pitches, I'll have a good game, even though he's having a bad season.
He is not pitching. So they have Sonny Gray, who kind of beat us last time, I think, and pretty badly. Kyle Gibson. And I can't remember who the third one. Oh, Mikolas is going in game
Mikolas
two.
Mikolas is always good against the Mets.
Yeah. So, hey, look, if they don't win 2 out of 3 here, it's going to be a very bad time going to Citi Field this weekend against the Braves.
Well, you'll be there.
I will be there Saturday. So, and it won't be a Christian Scott start, which sucks. Unless it rains.
And the Mets will once again be wearing their white pinstripe uniforms because their pants are missing. They can't wear the blacks. They can't wear their new ugly blacks and the blue uniforms. So, what do you think? You like the Mets' chances against the Cardinals, who are not great either? Paul Goldschmidt is struggling mightily. But, I mean, the Mets are just in a funk.
I don't even know if it matters. Like, if they get a good pitching start, they're not hitting. When they do hit, they're not pitching. So, like, I don't know what I'm getting from this team.
Gotta hope for a rainout tomorrow and hope for a doubleheader on getaway day that they could win.
We'll see. We'll see if that happens. I mean, as of right now, from what we've seen from this team, like, losing 2 out of 3 is a higher option than them winning 2 out of 3 because the team is just not hitting. and not in big spots. And the pitch, the situational pitching
is Friday night. Good. They used all their runs for the week Friday night.
They did. And Quintana laid a freaking big fat egg. He hasn't given up 8 runs in his tenure as a Met. And the time that he got run support is the time that he gives it up. See, like, you can't make any of that stuff up, man.
Matsui says if he had Seacom money, he would have paid Jonghoo Lee, who's been great. Shota Manga, who the whole league missed out.
Oh, gosh.
Year. Yeah. I knew he was going to be good. I would have took him. Chapman, Snell, Montgomery, and Bellinger. There would have been a lot of players there. And
but that's
Shota Manga, everybody missed out on.
Yeah. Him, Snell, and Montgomery, that's 3 lefties. They weren't going to put 3 lefties in the rotation.
And one of them's out for the year with the injury. So.
And I think Jung-Hoo Lee wanted to stay on the West Coast, like Yamamoto did. So he went to the Giants.
Well, listen, I got to hope that better things happen this week for the Mets. And I don't know. I'm not surprised, Anthony. You are. I kind of told you this is how the season was going to go. So this is it. I mean, this is just how it's going to be for the rest of the
year. You brought me on the...
I said on my show Friday, I said, this past series against the Cubs is like exactly what the Mets team are. They're like average at best. They'll win 2 and lose 2, and that's going to be it.
You brought me on here because the Mets got swept and to say I told you so from the beginning of the season.
Before they got swept, too. So.
It's all good. It's always good, man. I always have a good time with you here on this podcast, and I just hope that we get some better times, man. It sucks coming on here talking like this. It really does. Like, let me ask you a question. Do you want to, like, certain days, do you want to do this podcast when this team is sticking?
I don't want to do this podcast, and I have to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk about them getting swept by the Rays and preview how they're going to lose 2 out of 3 versus the Cardinals. No.
Frustrating, man.
We'll have some good times down the road, Anthony. We'll have you back on for what should hopefully be an exciting 2025 offseason. That's when the fun can maybe really begin.
Well, you know, if the Braves sweep this weekend, you know who to call.
Well, here's the thing. Last time they were going to play the Braves, we said, it's going to be the end of the season. And the Mets won 2 out of 3 against the Braves. So maybe the Braves is just what the doctor ordered.
Maybe.
I'm going to predict in the Braves series, Luis Guillorme is going to have a really good game and win the Mets a game. Win the Braves a game against the Mets.
Would I be shocked? No. Ame Rosario. You brought up Ame Rosario.
Jared Kelenic will do well. Ame Rosario looked great on Tampa Rays. That's just the way it's been. Well, we're going to end on a somber note, unfortunately. Anthony, tell everybody where they can find you and your show.
Yeah, at Subway to Shay, TikTok, Instagram, X, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can listen to the show. You can watch my clips and live streams. I got series previews, which I got to get you on for. That'll happen soon. And that is at Subway to Shay on YouTube.
There you go. All right, Anthony, this has been great. Make sure you are, of course, following Believe in the Mets on all social media platforms, and of course subscribe on YouTube. Never miss an episode at BLEIVINTHEMETS. I want to thank our sponsor Bet Online because they love Believe in the Mets. Who doesn't? And follow me on X at Nick_Durst. Make sure if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, leave a 5-star review. Write in the comment about just how great of a host they am, how I keep it real. I'm not a crazy fanboy. Let the people know what a great show Believe in the Mets is. And until next time, everybody, let's hope for the best and let's go Mets.